Anyway, that's a good exercise for us to count our blessings and see what God has done. So often we're overcome by certain things in our life that we don't think is just so great. But what is Thanksgiving? First of all, it's a day. It was a day of great celebration back in the days of Nehemiah in 444 BC. The children of Israel had finished building the wall to protect themselves from their enemies. And it was a wall of witness. It was a witness to their enemies. It was a witness to them. It was a miracle because it was completed in 52 days. And just as an aside, I think today is a day to begin to build our walls around our families once more. As Nehemiah looked out and he tried to rally the people of the city of Jerusalem that had been broken down, he finally decided that each of the families, if they just built the wall in front of their houses, the job would get done. And oh yes, it did. Because everybody was given over to building that wall to protect their brothers, their sisters, their family, their wives, so that they would be protected from the enemy from without. And so that great celebration on that Thanksgiving Day, so to speak, happened. And after the wall was built, there was a time of feasting and triumphant joy, a testimony of God's faithfulness. And we have to recount those days of God's faithfulness. Another Thanksgiving Day occurred when Israel was led to prepare a building, a temple, to an almighty God. And it was initiated by King David. But David wasn't allowed to build that temple because he was a man of blood. He was a man of war. It was completed under Solomon. But turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 14. And I'm reading from the NIV. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. And now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." So that was another day of great thanksgiving as they contemplated building this house to God. Well, who should be thankful? Psalm 107 tells us, and it's David. David, from one of his psalms, said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Those that know Jesus as their Lord and Savior are people that should be thankful for so many things. Yes, Christians should be a thankful people. But there are many things that occur in our lives that make Thanksgiving season difficult. Here in Canada, for instance, Thanksgiving comes early in October. And further south, Thanksgiving Day is on the fourth Thursday of October. And so I think that would have been a lot easier for us to, especially because we're so far north. And, you know, we're maybe just into the start of harvest season. And so it's harder to be thankful for the grain that's still standing out there and snowing or something else. So yes, I think that a later date may have given us a greater opportunity to be thankful for, especially as we view the crops in the field. There are other things that keep us from being thankful. You may be facing health issues. You may have lost a family member. You may have lost a job or have had a financial setback. But what is Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is a response of a grateful heart for God's goodness. It is an attitude of gratitude. It's an attitude of gratitude. It's made up of two words, thanks and giving. So the pilgrims, and that was in 1623, I believe, under extreme hardship, loss of loved ones, measured supply, believed that they were blessed and chose to share a meal with their Native American neighbors who helped them survive. And so that was another Thanksgiving day. What is Thanksgiving? It's a spirit of dependency when one is unable to see tomorrow's outcome. Yeah, it's a spirit of dependency when we can't see tomorrow's outcome. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 says, in everything, that's a hard one, isn't it? In everything, that's the good and the hard. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. Yes, thanksgiving is an expression to Almighty God that we know that He has our back no matter what. Still, the spirit of thanksgiving is something that we can lose. We can lose that spirit of thanksgiving. Now, as you witnessed this morning, some of us had the joy at camp this summer. Lee Van Ruskenfeld had asked several of us older people, to come and listen to campers recite Psalm 103. And so that's what the kids did this morning. They memorized Psalm 103, and a number of the kids were in camp and had done that. And during those few days that we were listeners, actually it was 3 days, there were over 3,000 verses said at Bethel Bible Camp. And you know something? As they said the verses, there was that amazing enthusiasm, a spirit of that came through in the reciting of those verses. And they were able to come every day and recite what they'd done the day before and then build on that. And that was all calculated out. And in the end, they received prizes, I think. Tim can tell you. Inspired by these young people, I too re-memorized Psalm 103. But I had to go back to the King James because, and I'll tell you why, because of its familiarity and also because sometimes when you begin doing more than or multi versions, you don't do so well. That's an excuse for my old brain. So it helped me to have a renewed thanksgiving, spirit of thanksgiving. And in Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all. I think that's giving it 100%. And all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord. And don't forget, this life insurance plan has benefits. And forget not all His benefits. Who who forgives all your transgressions. And transgressions is a word that actually implies lawless deeds. Sometimes we just do something wrong, and I think God says that's a sin. But a transgression is something that I did, and I did it intentionally. And so that's a breaking of the law. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. And he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He fills our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. You ever watched an eagle soar? We used to live on the island, and at the time of the run of the salmon, there would be 100 eagles in one tree, and those eagles could, with just opening their wings, they could soar up and out of sight. It's amazing. God strengthens us so that we can be restored like eagles. So this happened at camp. So from those verses that I quoted from you, for you, in Psalm 103, we have a spiritual heritage, for he has made a provision for us. The amazing thing is this: God has provided a life insurance plan that will stand up for all of eternity. If we have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his Son, it is based on God's forgiveness policy. He forgives how many of our sins? All. And so it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Yes, God's promise is to forgive all our lawless deeds. And then we have other verses in the Bible that back up what Psalm 103 says. For instance, a lot of you boys and girls know Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is what? What is it? It's a gift. Do you have to pay for gifts? No. Somebody did. That was in this verse. It's God that paid the gift price. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. 2 Corinthians 5 and 19. God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And we can go out and say, you know, God would forgive your sin on the basis of what Christ did on the cross. You can't do anything. You can't possibly lay up enough money to get to heaven. But God paid the ticket price for us to go to heaven. And it's based on the sacrifice that he sacrificed his own son, the blood of his own son, so that we could go to heaven. 1 Peter 2 and 8 says, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you are healed. So the first provision here is, I should say, the first area of life is God's provision for us, spiritual provision. The second is his promise of healing. And there are people that have actually experienced God's healing in this life. God has raised them up. I remember taking a funeral service just a week ago on Saturday. And this person was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And in the treatment, in two or three about 6 weeks, he walked out of the hospital, and that was in 1984. God heals. He is the healer. Who heals your diseases? Eventually, we will be given a brand new body like Christ's. People get sick now and they die. Still, those who know the Lord suffer. And eventually, we will go to a place where there, if we know the Lord, where there is no sorrow, no sickness, no tears, no dying. And we'll have a body that will live for how long? How long is that? You're going for that policy that was paid for at the cross? I hope so. I hope you don't walk out of here if you don't know Jesus as your Savior without that policy in place, signed by in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, he has a purpose. He says, in this psalm, it says, who redeems your life from destruction. What does that mean? Our life can be worthless. It can be useless. But God wants our lives to count. He has a purpose for you and me. We thank the Lord when we carefully listen to his voice. He has a meaningful purpose. People who become nurses have a ministry in helping sick people. Teachers have a ministry in training people to think. And welders can have a ministry in all kinds of ways in helping people. Farming and farmers are bringing in the food that we all enjoy. Firefighters, all of these important and different jobs are a ministry. And God can redeem our life and give it purpose. Fourthly, in God's foreknowledge, he made the earth fruitful. And we thank him for that. For what the earth brings forth from its production. The rain comes down and food grows. And it says, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He didn't just give us blah, did he? I mean, we enjoy biting into a juicy peach. We have all kinds of things that we say, that is just amazing. It's so delicious, so tasty. Who did that? God did. When you look out on the flowers, we see that God is a God of color and design, infinitely amazing in his creation. Yes, he satisfies our life. Our youth is renewed. Like the eagles. How thankful we should be. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I had to go to camp and listen to those boys and girls for a restoration of a thankful spirit. I want to close our time in a time of prayer. And I would like to call up two or three people because I think this is a time of prayer, a time to pray for our community, for our farmers, for our country, for direction for our country. We need men to stand up. It took Nehemiah to stand up and to build that wall. We need men to stand up and say, you know what? This is what God asks us of us, and we are not walking on that road. John, would you come up? Ken, would you come up? Is there a farmer here that would like to come up and pray. And we're going to pray for those that are sick. We'll pray for our community. We'll pray for our church family. And let me tell you, I am so thankful for this church community.
Right. Shall we stand as we pray together? Our gracious Father in heaven, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, as Keith has just shared with us, Lord, we come to you with a heart of thankfulness. So much to be grateful for. Lord, we ask for forgiveness when we grumble and complain. We ask, O Lord, for a change of heart if we're discouraged and, Lord, upset. We ask, O Lord God, for expressions of thankfulness for the many good things you give us. And my prayer, Lord, this morning is that across our community and our nation, you would restore, Lord, a heart of thankfulness and clear understanding of where our blessings come from. That as a nation, we would declare that the Lord is the one who has granted us peace and provision and supply. And so I ask, O Lord God, a restoration of understanding, of knowing who is our Lord, and a gratefulness in expressing it. So as Keith has mentioned, Lord, raise up our leaders across our nation to again acknowledge your provision, your purposes, and your supply for our country. To the glory of God, we ask it.
And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. You've given us your word so that it lifts our spirits. It lifts our eyesight from what's in front of us to you. And Lord, we thank you, as Psalm 103 says, that you have prepared your throne in the heavens. And that throne of yours is secure. And you are the ruler of your kingdom. Your rule is over all. So, Lord, we acknowledge you as our King. We acknowledge you as that we are dependent totally upon you. And, Lord, we ask your blessing upon this whole congregation. We ask your blessing upon our country, Lord. And we pray that you indeed would raise up leadership. Lord, we believe that the Lord Jesus is coming back, and it may be soon, and we look forward to his coming. But in between, help us to stand for you. And we give you thanks, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, we thank you that you're a God that cares about us as individuals. We thank you that the strength of any nation is the families. The strength of any country is the families. And we think of our local town here and the surrounding area and then our local church. Lord, I want to raise up our families to you. As Keith reminded us of that wall that was built by the families in Nehemiah's day, Lord, we pray that each household here, represented here by the dads and the mums, that they would build a spiritual hedge of protection around their families. And Lord, that there would be a strengthening and a unity in the families that will make our community, our local church, our community, and our country stronger. That you'd raise up men who will be the men who will lead their families and give the wives the strength to be the mums and the wives that their husbands need. We pray that you would strengthen the family especially. And we thank you so much for the families. We think of all the families that are here this morning come together for our Thanksgiving time. Lord, we thank you that we do have families. And we thank you that you can do this thing about strengthening families. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. Amen.
And Father God, we pray for the farm families in our area. This has been a tough go again this harvest season. But Lord, we know that you are faithful. And Lord, as we acknowledge our supply is in you, we also believe, Lord, that you will keep your promise that there will be seed time and harvest. And that, Lord, the crops will come in. Now, Father, I pray especially there's going to be a lot of hours of people sitting in pickup trucks, babysitting grain dryers. May this be, Lord, a bountiful time to meditate on the Lord and to worship and to allow you to encourage each person. So, Lord God, we ask, Lord, your favor in the coming in of the remainder of the harvest this season. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, just sit down a minute. But I have an assignment. If these boys and girls can memorize Psalm 103, and if an old bird like me can memorize Psalm 103, so can you. And I guarantee from this, it's really a summary in many ways of the Bible, Psalm 103 will be a great blessing to you. For instance, verse 11 says, as high as the heavens is above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those that fear him. Think about it. How high is the heavens above the earth? So high, right? That's how high his mercy is towards those that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Oh, there's some great blessings in this. And it says, in verse 16, and I'm going to read it. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. So there's a promise here that goes from you to your children to your grandchildren. It's a worthwhile promise to claim from Almighty God. So thank you so much, and the Lord bless you this Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you, Keith. We're going to sing one more song together. So music team, you can come on up here. And it says in it, give thanks to the Lord our God and King. His love endures forever. And so we have that as much and more than all these other things we've been talking about to be thankful for, the fact that his love endures forever. So please rise with us as we sing forever.
Love endures forever, and for he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever.
very blessed. So share that blessing with those around you this week. God bless.